From NPR News, it's All Things Considered. I'm Noah Adams.
And I'm Linda Wertheimer. In Connecticut, the Hartford Current has uncovered a series of seemingly avoidable deaths at group homes for the mentally retarded. The newspaper's investigation has prompted an inquiry into staffing and oversight at the Connecticut Department of Mental Retardation. From member station WNPR, John Dankowski reports.
Over the last 10 years, 364 people died in Connecticut group homes, mostly of natural causes. But the report found that roughly three dozen, or 10% of these cases, were avoidable. Some died of choking or suffocation, some from falls, burning, or drowning, others from errors in medication. Elizabeth Hamilton, one of the investigative reporters who broke the story for The Current, says staffing policies, and not just individual cases of neglect, are at the root of some deaths. Hamilton says the Department of Mental Retardation, or DMR, has not been held very accountable for what happens to residents in the state's $260 million group home system.
You would assume that they should be safe in a 24-hour staffed home. That's one of the reasons that the state is spending as much money as it does on this system, is to keep these people safe and make sure that they lead a high quality of life.
But Peter O'Meara, DMR's commissioner, says his department does all it can to prevent client deaths.
Even one is a tragedy, because usually what's behind something like that is that someone has been inattentive or has not, you know, followed the protocol or the procedures.
O'Meara says the DMR has acted appropriately and has cited some group home operators for neglect. And he denies the Current's assertion that patient care was compromised to make way for staff cuts and cost savings. But reporter Elizabeth Hamilton says that many residents who had specific needs didn't get the care they were prescribed. Like Joe Rodriguez, a 48-year-old mentally retarded man living at a home run by the Connecticut Institute for the Blind, one of the largest providers of group home care in the state. The DMR approved staffing cuts at the home over the objection of Rodriguez's guardian, taking away his one-on-one supervision. Hamilton says he had a long history of stealing food and eating it too fast. With no teeth and little self-control, this was a life-threatening habit.
And sure enough, one day, while all of the employees of the group home were busy taking care of the other residents, got into the kitchen, opened the refrigerator, which was not locked or secured in any way, pulled out some raw pork, and choked to death. Now, that's clearly avoidable, and they just didn't seem to take the steps to make sure that this person was safe.
This is Joe. There he is at a Halloween party, and there he is with his ribbons, you know, always playing with his ribbons.
Maria Welter is Joe Rodriguez's sister. She's looking through pictures of her brother and other residents of the home on one of their day outings with staff members.
As far as the staff in that home, they were very loving and caring to all the clients. They just needed more staff to help them so disasters wouldn't happen. They were all afraid something bad would happen. Nobody was listening.
Welter made repeated requests for officials from DMR to visit and consider the special needs of homes like her brother's, where all of the residents were profoundly mentally retarded and most were in wheelchairs.
It's always the profoundly severely retarded, and that hurts. That really hurts, because they don't deserve it. All they want to do is stay safe and as healthy as they can, and they need people to help them with that. And I don't see it happening.
Welter is suing Connecticut and the private group home provider over her brother's death. And she's not the only guardian looking into legal action. Others have filed suit to learn more about how their loved ones died, or why autopsies were performed by medical students instead of the medical examiner's office. Reporter Elizabeth Hamilton says the DMR's secretive investigation practices shield the department from public scrutiny.
It's impossible to know exactly how many people within the group home system died accidental or deaths or deaths related to negligence, because DMR refuses to release the findings of its own neglect and abuse investigations or its mortality review documents.
State lawmakers will conduct an inquiry into the handling of death records and staffing policies. State Senate President Kevin Sullivan says the Connecticut legislature has been working with mental retardation advocates for years. They've been concerned with adequately funding the department and reducing the long list of clients waiting to get into group homes.
So focused have they been on improving the number of placements that maybe we've forgotten to look at the quality of oversight and the quality of lives and the quality of supervision that is being offered to these folks and to their families.
Sullivan says the department's procedures need to be more closely scrutinized, but Commissioner Peter O'Meara says DMR's oversight process is as strong as any in the country, and he takes issue with the report's characterization of the deaths as untimely. He maintains the only recurring theme among the deaths was individual error by staff members.
In a system as large as ours, you know, regrettably, over time, and they looked at a 10-year period of time, but, you know, there are tragedies that happen when people don't do what we hope they will do.
And O'Meara dismisses charges of secrecy, saying that family members and guardians are kept informed about changes in staffing and care. He suggests that his department may try to change its policies to allow more public reporting of untimely deaths, saying it will probably help build confidence in the system. But Maria Welter long ago lost confidence in the people she once trusted with her brother's life. While she understands the Department of Mental Retardation is charged with caring for thousands of people across Connecticut, she says each person and each group home is unique, and that special attention needs to be paid to these neediest residents.
I promised my brother, Joseph Rodriguez, that they'll never forget his name and that changes will happen, and I'll be there to make sure and help as much as I can to see them get made.
Welter says she's hopeful that other families won't be afraid to voice their concerns about Connecticut's group home system now that their story is out. For NPR News, I'm John Dankosky in Hartford.